Blog Talk Radio.
This conference is being recorded. Unmuted.
Praise the Lord and good morning. Praise the Lord, good morning. Welcome to our 6 a.m. mega prayer. Please remain on the line. Our broadcast will be starting soon.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We welcome you to Messenger Christ Church.
Muted.
This is Pastor Sylvia Staples. We want to thank you for joining us this morning for Mega Prayer Hour, which is held every Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. You are tuned in to our broadcast. The broadcast number is area code 641-715-3670, and the access code is 420-123-pound. Again, we want to thank you for joining us on the call. Every Monday, we want to welcome you back and invite you back to join us every Monday for Miracle Monday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we also want to invite you to join us every Sunday, which is our morning Bible study. We ask that you join us every Sunday at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. At this time, we want to encourage you to go ahead and invite a loved one or a friend. This is our Power in the Word week, so we want to encourage you to go ahead and invite someone to the call at this time that you know needs the power of the Word. You can also reach out to us by way of our administrative line for anything pertaining to the ministry, or if you need clarity for conferences, if you need addresses or location. Also, if you need prayer requests, we encourage you to still make your request known on our administrative line. We will just pass your request on to our intercessors, and we will stand in agreement with you. Also, on our administrative local line, you can also call in regards to donations, or if you want to plant a seed, we're still accepting. Message of Christ is still accepting the seed planting for the number 9, which was the month of September, and planting and sowing into the expected end for your life. If you also want to become an intercessor, we encourage you to also reach out to us by way of our local number, which is 773-609-2071. And we ask that you just call into that number to get any information pertaining to the ministry. You can also reach out to us by email, which is messageofchrist@yahoo.com, and also by way of U.S. mail, which is Message of Christ, P.O. Box 390-762. We're located in Chicago, Illinois. The zip code is 60639. Again, our mailing address is Message of Christ, P.O. Box 390-762. We're located in Chicago, Illinois, and the zip code is 60639. You can also reach out to us by way of our website, which is messageofchrist.net. There you will find the prayer wall. There you will find the schedule of workshops of our weekly events, our weekly broadcast. There you will find ways to sow into the ministry as far as PayPal. We encourage you to, if you have not yet purchased a prayer shawl for yourself or a loved one, we still encourage you to do so as well. For our upcoming events, we want to keep in mind of the Women's Fall Conference for 2016, which is held in Mounds, Illinois, where the pastor, Sylvia Staples, Ministries presents This Battle Is Not Yours. Sorry. That's going to be Sunday, October 23rd, 2016. The time is 3:30 p.m. Their location is in Grace Christ Fellowship. The address is 223 Oak Street. That's located in Mount Illinois, where the pastor is Pastor Lloyd Jordan. Again, that's the Women's Fall Conference, which is located in Mount, Illinois. And we want to keep in mind of our monthly Women's Fellowship, which will be starting back up. So we encourage you, if you are located in Chicago, Illinois, if you are going to be in Chicago, Illinois for the month of going forward, it's usually held every second Saturday. We encourage you to also come out as well. And that location is also, for the moment, is also in Chicago, Illinois, which is the Buckertown Wicker Park Library, which is located 1707 North Milwaukee. The zip code is 60647. The times is usually from 12 noon to 3 p.m. So we encourage you to come out for our monthly Victorious Women's Conferences, which will begin every month. So we just want to look forward to every fellowship with the ministry so that we can stay, you know, in fellowship, so we can come together in love. At this time, I am your host, Sister Lalonda, and as I mentioned before, this is our Power in the Word Week. As we go forth in prayer, we just want to thank God for everything that he's done, even in this week, even as we come together this morning, we want to go in prayer together. So we want to thank God for the holiness that he has brought us forth in, for the purity that he has given us. We want to thank God for waking us up in love, waking us up in our right mind. We just want to love on God this morning as we set the atmosphere for his word to be rooted in our heart. And as we come together, we want to remember that we're two or more gathered in his name, that he's in the midst. So whatever it is that we are bombarding heavy with, whatever position that he's causing us to get in, whether we're lying down, whether we're standing up, whether we're at work, whether we're in our cars, he wants us to always acknowledge him. So, and it's part of our devotion. So, dear Heavenly Father, for you are a holy God, for you are a faithful God. We desire to be as holy as you, Father. Set us apart, Father God, unto you, Father God, this morning, Father. We thank you, Father God, that our life, Father God, is in a manner of worthiness to you, Father God, to please you this morning, Father. Search our heart as we pray, Father God. If there is anything that is sinful, Father God, within or lurking within, Father, we ask that you were rooted out, Father God, for we know that the only way that has cleansed hand and pure heart, Father God, is in your presence, Father God. So we come, Father God, asking as our heart is being purified, Father, as our heart is being cleansed from inner thoughts, and we ask that you examine, Father, every intention, Father God, behind our actions, Father, every motive, Father God, behind our attitude, Father God, because we desire to live in this holiness of you, holiness of heart, Father God, and if there's anything that is displeasing to you in our life, Father, we ask that in your grace, Father God, that you will root it out, Father, so that we may live in godly holiness, Father, in all the days of our life, Father. Clothe us in righteousness this morning, Father God. Separated unto you, Father God, and walking in godly love, Father. We come right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. Yes, Lord. We thank you right now today, Father, that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous life, Father, that you set us free from slavery to sin and released us from any bondage of fear, Father God. We thank you for breathing the new resurrection life of Christ into our very being, Father God, and for taking a permanent residence in our heart, Father God. Lord, we just want to be led by your spirit, Father God. Lord, we just want to walk in the truth, Father God. Lord, we just want to live a godly life, Father, that develops holiness, Father God. But we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for teaching us how, Father. Thank you for giving us and ordering our steps right now today, Father God. Lord, we come to you and capable of being able to live a life of holiness by ourselves, Father. So we come humble right now for you this morning, Father. We come in humility, to you this morning, Father. We come in thanksgiving to you, Father God, that you will teach us, Father God. Yes, Lord, that you will continue to show us, that you will open up our eyes to see what you have us to do, Father, that you will unblock our ears, Father, so that we may still hear your small voice, Father God, that we may be teachable in spirit to lean not to our own understanding, Father God, but in all our ways we come to acknowledge you, Father God, that you, Father God, yes, Lord, who is the head of our life, Father God, can do all things through Christ that strengthen us, Father God. So we just want to thank you right now today, Heavenly Father. We want to come to you, Father God, yes, Lord, because we know that in you, Father, yes, Lord, we cannot fail. We know that in you, Father God, we have no fear, Father God. We know that in you, Father God, yes, Lord, there is no defeat, Father God. So we thank you, Father, that we have been born into your family. We thank you that we are united together in Christ, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for we pray for the increase, Father, of Christ's nature and character, Father, to be developed in us, Father God. But we thank you, Father, for when Paul said our old self has died and been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer that we live, but Christ that lives in us, Father God. We thank you for that resurrection life in us, Father. We thank you for the resurrected works through us, Father God. So we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you will continue, Father God, to root, Father, out all, Father God, yes, Lord, that is encountered, Father God, yes, Lord, in us, Father, that we desire, Father God, what you desire, Father, that we think how you think, Father God, that we speak what you say speak, Father God. We pray that you will increasingly, Father, hallelujah, transform us, Father God, into the image and likeness of your Son, Father God, day by day, Father God. So we just thank you right now today, Lord. We know, Father God, that it is not easy, Father God, yes, Lord, in this life, Father, but you said take on your yoke that is easy. Take on your burden that is light, Father God. So we come praying with all supplication, Father God. We come praying with all understanding, Father God, knowing who we are in you, knowing who we belong to, Father God. So we thank you because you are Jehovah Jireh, because you are Jehovah Nissi, Father God, because you, Father God, yes, Lord, are the provider, Father God, because you are the healer, Father, because you are the wonderful counselor, Father God, because you are our lawyers, Father God, because you, Father God, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth, Father God, so we just bow down to you, Father God. We thank you, Father, yes, Lord. We thank you right now today, hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, as you help us to look into our life in deeper places, Father, as you help us to search our childhood, Father God, as you help us, Father God, to come closer to you, Father God, because we are co-laborers with you, Father God. So we just thank you right now today, Father, for this word, Father, for the power of this word, Father God, for the power of this ministry, Father God, for the power of this week, Father God, that you have given us, Father God, to come together once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. So as we open up, as I say, with the power of the word, there's an article that I kind of looked up, and I just wanted to just go deeper into or just give a highlight of us as believers to make sure that we are focused and steadfast and holding God's word wholeheartedly. Sometimes as believers, we can become stagnated. Sometimes we can develop a reprobated mind. Sometimes we can backslide and go back into the life, you know, that we once were saved from. As we go forward, there was an article, and I just wanted to share it. It talked about the lukewarm Christian test, and it's like we know the Father in Scripture. It says that In Scripture, it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, with God's word to see if you, no, I'm sorry. Okay, yes, it is 2 Corinthians 13:5, but hold on a second. So as we go forward, we just want to keep in mind of the power of the word we can, and all the words that were spoken this week leading up to into today, and how you can still obtain the favor of God, how you can still obtain the blessing of God, how you can still walk in Him and still receive the reward of our lives. And not, you know, fear of even just asking the Father what it is that we don't have, or asking, He said, those that lack the knowledge, they the ones that perish. So there's things that we walk in our Christian life that is needed. And if we come into a place or a space in our life where, I heard before this week, where you think you know it all, sometimes you just got to stay in the position of I don't know until God reveals it to us. So in order to stay away from the stagnation, the reprobated mind, the place or the space where you no longer hunger and thirst for God and you think you got it all together. I think I heard that before too. You just want to stay pliable and teachable and be able to be teachable to others, as well as knowing when it's time for you to even be the student and learn more of what God is speaking to you from the leadership that He's placed before you. But in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it just speaks, examine yourselves, whether you be in faith, to prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobate. And just in Scripture it says that, in the expounding explanation, we're talking about the Corinthians, we're to examine ourselves to seek that we really are Christians. And just as we get physical checkups, Paul in this time urges them to also examine and give ourselves of Christ's presence and power in our lives. And just only knowing that then when we are truly Christians and not imposters, and we are truly not taking active steps to grow closer. If we're not taking active steps to grow closer with God, then we are drawing further away from him. So it's almost like, as this test, it says, the lukewarm Christian test. It's just an examining of self. And as 1 Corinthians 13:5 spoke, it's examining yourself to see if your faith is genuine. We know Christ is among us, but if we have not, or if we fail to have that genuine faith, the only faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then there are chances that we are moving in flesh, even though we're in flesh, as we hunger, thirst, and righteousness on a daily basis. We still want to make sure we're examining ourselves. So as we go into, before we go into this test, we can go to 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. And that basically just reads, this is 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. This is the King James Bible. And it reads, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And when it speaks about, this is again for the Corinthians, and it was speaking about when Paul said, no one should take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. He was speaking to the church members who were rushing into it without thinking of its meaning, not discerning the Lord's body. The meaning of not distinguishing the Lord's Supper from a normal meal. And those who did so were guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So this is basically in this piece in 1 Corinthians 11, it was the instruction of public worship and the questioning about covering the head in worship. So in this time, as we understand who we are in Christ, and who we are in God, we still have to be able to understand that we are all sinners saved by grace. that we didn't get the last bottle of mercy, as I heard before, that we still have to be humble enough in ourselves to understand what God has saved us from, what darkness he has brought us out of. And we have to understand that affliction that is being brought upon us. He said our loins will be girded with affliction. And that affliction is an affliction that he placed upon the believers who are responsible. And you show forth their responsibility because that affliction, he says, he delivers us out of all affliction. So it's nothing really that is happening to us as believers as we take on this life of Christ, because when Christ took it on, he was the example. He was the epitome of whatever could go wrong up under the sun that happened to him. So as we take on this life of Christ and God said we will do greater things than Christ did, there's a work that is to be done to us in the inside of us so that every time when something happens to us, we don't forget the last thing that God brought us through, or we don't forget that we've been saved by grace, or we don't forget that Christ has already suffered, you know, and we have to just endure through those things that or situations, circumstances that God has given us. And as we are aware, more aware, and he's brought light that may manifest into our life, we are to turn around and do the same thing to those that he's given us responsibility over, to those ministries that he's wanting to birth through us, to those visions that he's wanting to birth through us, to the church. As we come together as the church, as we raise up as the church, we just want to make sure who we are. You know, you always want to judge yourself first through any situation. We want to examine ourselves. So through this test, just an introduction, it speaks about in Revelation, the lukewarm Christian is the verse in Revelation 3:14-22. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea writes, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you can become rich, and white garments. And basically that was just speaking of this lukewarm Christian, this Christian that, or as believers, as we fall into that reprobated state, or that stagnation, or in between the development of our destiny. God wants us to be patient with what he's doing. It's so much that can transpire over time that it's not until we just stop and we look back and we understand what God has changed us from, that's the power of our salvation. The power of our salvation is what we have transformed into in our minds, the likeness and godliness of Christ that we now live by. And it's not nothing that you can decide to turn off. You can, but he said, I put life and death before you. He said, choose life. But it says in this scripture, it said, because you say I am rich, because we as people, like the rich young ruler, he was told to give up everything. He said, I command, obey the laws. But if we are the fulfilling, Christ was the fulfilling of the law. Those laws, these laws of his government don't matter. He said you're supposed to fulfill the law. So we don't live by the laws, we fulfill them. But even as the rich young ruler, he didn't want to let go of what he had. He said, give me everything that you got and walk. But he didn't want to let that go. So in our mind, there's certain things we don't want to let go, and that's why we can't continue to develop. But with this lukewarmness, he say, become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that in this time, they rich young ruler, he was wretched for not giving up everything. Say, he became miserable. He walking in his wealthiness, but it's not of God. he was really poor. He was blind and naked. And but God say, I advise you to buy whatever it is that for righteousness. He said, this robe of righteousness, which is found in Isaiah 61 and 10, so that we can be clothed, or so that we can clothe ourselves, and that the shame of nakedness that was revealed, because that's everything that was revealed when sin came in. It's the very thing that we come out of belief for, or we stop believing, or we forget. It's the very thing that causes our eyes to be reprobated, or for us to begin to start looking at what's going on in the world instead of moving by faith. He said we walk by faith and not by sight. But that shameness and that nakedness came in when there was sin, when there was a choice to live outside of what God is speaking. So even as we continue to walk in our Christian life, we want to stay away from that lukewarmness. We don't want our life to seem the same as the world, even though God has said the wheat and the tares will grow together. The just and the unjust, he said, the only thing that pleases him is his faith. So even as we are living examples, even as we are supposed to be the church, because we are believers, there's a way that God is preparing and setting forth in the earth where the church is going to be revealed. But we want to make sure that in our walk, in our spiritual walk, that we are in tune with what God is speaking to in this time. As we can go over into Matthew 12 and 11 through 14, this is just before we go through this lukewarm Christian test. Again, I was just speaking about everything that transpired in our lives this week, and coming into a place where we understand who we are and how we're supposed to hold the life that God has given us wholeheartedly. There's a work to be done to have favor. There's a work to be done to have blessings. So as you have tuned in, this is the Power of the Word Week. We're just going to speak about more about examining ourselves. But as we go over to, was it Matthew 22:11-14, and we're going to speak about what this shame and this nakedness basically explains and demonstrates to us. So as this is the King James Bible, Matthew 22:11-14 reads, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then he said, this is Christ speaking. Then said the king of the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into our darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but a few are chosen. And in this passage, this was basically the time when Jesus told this the parable of the wedding feast. And it just basically spoke the customary for wedding guests to be a garment to wear to the banquet. It was unthinkable to refuse to wear it. So in this passage right here, it speaks about the guests who were arrogant, the guests that thought they didn't need a garment or that they did not want to take part in a wedding celebration. So the wedding garment is basically a picture of righteousness. That's the garment of righteousness that's needed to enter into God's kingdom. But the total acceptance in God's eyes that Christ gives every believer, Christ has to provide this garment for everyone. But each person must choose to put it on in order to enter into the kingdom banquet, which is eternal life. And there's an open invitation, but we must always be ready. For in this passage it says, for more on the image of your garments of righteousness and salvation, we basically have to know what God has given us. Like I said, so before, what he's changed us in. When we got saved, we were saved. We were saved from the old life. He said, old things pass away, and behold, we come new. Until the day we die, we continue every day we're putting on
what God is telling us to put on. We're picking up the life that he's telling us to pick up. We put down the old life, and not to say everything he wants us to be, kept down, but what he wants us to put up, put on or pick up is the life that he's given us to our destiny, is the eternal life he's given us. So he has to show us how to pick our life up. He has to show us the things that we have to be developed to carry. It was certain things, certain attitudes, certain personalities, certain decisions that we made that he still wants us to move in, but he wants to mold it in a certain way. He wants to shape it in a certain way. He's the potter. We the clay. So he has to mold us in a way to be able to carry this life. Like, life happens. Life happens to everybody. But when we're believers, we're supposed to happen for life. We have the authority to tell life because we are kingdom-minded, because we have the authority to speak into the atmosphere. If it's God's will to be done, then it's by faith that we hear what needs to be done. And once we speak it, what we have to do? Just wait patiently. It can be an instant result, but in most times, it's patient over time. And what I'm seeing right now in my life, over time, he has shown me so much that when he said it, you best to believe it. Do not return back void. It's just the position of when he spoke it that we are in, the space that we are in. Are we able to accept what he said patiently and still remember that when he spoke it, it's still our responsibility to even to wait for the expected end? So with this lukewarm Christian, so this just amazed me that the Christian can be lukewarm. As believers, we can fall into this wretched place. We can become miserable in our walk. We can become poor, well, in mind and thought and spirit. We can become blind, naked. And that's only when we take off these garments of righteousness. He said he clothed us in righteousness. He said every day put on the armor of him. If it's just like us putting on our socks and our shoes and our shirt and our undergarments, then we have to put on what it is that God's telling us to put on. And as I explained in our Little Leaders ministry, it's not literally something you can go in your closet and put on, but it's literally something that you have to address yourself with. You have to acknowledge that you have this protection. You have to acknowledge that you have this double hedge of protection upon your life. It's an inner dressing. And when you explain to small children, you have to give them that understanding that it protects them from the world. So we in the world and I love it, but at the same time, you have to put on this armor because it guards everything from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. But as we go forward, it says that we may be clothed in righteousness, that the shame of our nakedness will not be revealed. And then it says, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom we love, who we approve and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, we stand at the door and knock. Or behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in this passage here, it just basically was speaking about as you go forward and you clothe yourself. It's speaking about this robe of righteousness. And this is found in Isaiah 61 and 10. I'm sorry, I didn't even go there. But that was the scripture that was just read. And let's just make sure that is the scripture that was just read. So it was talking about so Isaiah 61 and 10 is still talking about the garment
is still talking about being clothed with the garment of salvation in Isaiah 61 and 10. But in this particular passage or scripture in the article, it was speaking about or giving the understanding about walking with the Father or walking with this zealousness or repentive heart. Let's see if I can. And that's Matthew. It's Matthew 7, chapter 7, 21 and 23. So when it spoke of it, it was speaking about when the Father approaches us and the Father exposes us or make us aware to certain things, in order for us to accept it wholeheartedly, in order for us to move with it, we have to make sure that whatever is in our heart, that we're not emotional about it, that we have discernment about what it is that he's asking us to look at, that we don't take it in a place where we have to think about it, that we have to put our own imagination on what he's saying. When he exposes us to anything or make us aware of anything, it's for his glory. It's not for our personal glory. So we may not think. We may not feel a certain way when he gives us this responsibility, but we must always remember that we're not living a life for ourselves. Our life belongs to Christ. So whatever it is for his people, it is that he wants, then we must want that same thing. And it could be our enemy. It could be someone who just, you know, lashed out or persecuted or, you know, brought forth all type of darkness or shame. And if the Father says straighten up and, you know, make your heart available, if those people come to our heart, we have to still be able to have a heart to give. Even in any situation, it doesn't matter. We're not living for the glory of ourselves. We're living for the glory of God. So making sure we don't have that, again, that wretchedness, or we're not miserable or poor or blind to the fact of what God is saying, but knowing that everything that he promised us is eternal life and salvation is through what he has given us in our eternal life and salvation. And we can't hold on to that. You know, we can't hold on to the fact that we have answers. We can't hold on to the fact that, not hold on to the fact that we have answers, but we can't hold on to the fact that because he's done it for us, that, you know, we're not responsible for that testimony. We're not responsible for sharing the good news. We're not responsible for that gospel, because we are responsible for it. It's just a selfish thing that some people who have been saved or some believers walk in these days, and it makes the church, if people don't have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, it makes the church look like it's not this position of life. It makes the church look like, for those people and those unbelievers, when we're supposed to be the living example of love for those who are looking from the outside and don't know what that looks like, it should be stated in a way through our lifestyle. Our lifestyle should be this place, because the church is just not where the people coming through. The church has to be demonstrated through our lifestyle. It has to be demonstrated through the way we walk, through the way we talk, through our action. It has to be demonstrated through our professionalism. Whatever God has given us, that's how the church is supposed to come forth in, no matter if we are in the building, no matter if we are in that place of gathering. It's outside of the four walls. It's in the hedges and the highways. It's in the dark places. And right now in our city in Chicago, you would think that it's darkness here, but it's so much going forth here that they focus on this violence and crime. And why is violence and crime? And it was just revealed to me yesterday again that it's more people looking at what to take possession in, what to take ownership. Because all they know is if it's violence and crime, then those people that's not saying, they running. And if they oppose it on the news, it's all the what's going on. There's still an operation going on. There's still government going on. There's still building going on. There's still establishing going on. And all that's supposed to be going on through what God has ordained in this land. But when the enemy
try to cover the eyes of the people, it's like it's only those that's connected that can actually build, establish, still take ownership, still see possession, and not look at what it is that's being actually revealed over the news or over social media or over the internet or in your community. It's like you have to be the, we have to be the light. So as we go forward, it speaks about having the faith, like when we go forward in our walk, when we go forward, not just in this word, but when we go forward in our life, and we have put on the garments of righteousness, we have put on the garments of salvation, we have on the whole armor of God, and we still have to understand those things that's coming for us. Just because we are light and light makes manifest, there's still things that we have to battle with. There's still things that we have to respond to. There's still decisions that we have to make. So in this, we speak about the parable of the sower, and that's found in Matthew 13:3-23. And it still ties into this examination of the lukewarm Christian. It's just revealing to us, when we examine ourselves, all of the things that we look for are inner, in our inner being. But in this parable of the sower, it just speaks about how Jesus warned to that many people will perish. And a few percentage of the wise truly become born again. It speaks about how God's word says that we can know we have eternal life if we keep his commandments. It says to examine ourselves with God's word and make sure we're biblically saved. Make sure the word is in our heart. Make sure we're just not hearers of the word and not doers. Make sure we're just not speaking a life and not living a life. But in this examination of the lukewarm Christian, in this article, it says, yet us the grace of God as a license. But let's go there, because it says, by the grace of God, even though we have the grace of God or we have his mercy, in the flesh there's a license to sin. So it's almost saying that if you don't come out this lukewarm place, neither hot or cold, say he'll spit us out. I mean, we're perishing if we're not in this space where we know the fact that God has saved us and we believe in the life of Christ and we're supposed to put on this life and live this life. Let's go to let's go to Romans 6:1-23. Okay. So Romans 6:1-23 is speaking about, it says in the article, a license to sin. Let's see exactly. Okay, it says the freedom from sin's grasp. That's what the King James Version, the title says. Sin's power is broken. So we have to know that we have all power over the enemy, but we have to know the power that God has given us through situations and circumstances. And it reads, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as the Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin, for that is dead. For that is dead is free from sin. So that's the point it's making. When we examine ourselves, we have to make sure whatever